Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. It says, "All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think." Have you ever wondered why you get up early on a summer Sunday morning and walk into the basement of a mill? See, this is the reason right here. Let's look at it together. To give God the glory. God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. And this is the reason that it happens. The Holy Spirit in us connects us to God. And then God works through us with his mighty power and with his strength to do more than we could ask or think. So before we begin today, I want to just take one moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come among us. Will you pray with me? Lord God, it is our heart's cry that we would be known by our love. And we know that's only possible when the Holy Spirit in us dwells inside us, fills us with your love. So Lord, we ask right now that you would open the eyes of our heart to the word that you want us to hear. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to believe you. And to go out and do what it is you've called us and created us in advance to do. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, God works in us for one reason. He has a specific plan for your life. And he has a powerful destiny for you and for me and for our church. And when we recognize that it is God's power in us, it is not our own power, then what happens? All the glory and the honor goes to Jesus. How many of you remember the first job you ever had? Last year at this time, I stepped into a new role, and it was a crazy little summer for me, let me tell you. I was thinking about roles because my youngest daughter just stepped into her first full-time job. I cannot believe I am at that stage of life already. And so they trained her for a few days so she would do a good job. But nothing compares to the training that my daughter Katie got last summer at the same time I was stepping into this role. She began to work at a credit union, and they spent 2 weeks training her. Has anyone here ever been trained for 2 weeks? So they wanted her to know exactly what she needed to do and what she shouldn't do because she was dealing with other people's money. And yet when I stepped in here last year, I have to tell you something. I had no idea what I was doing. I had spent a long time being a children's pastor. I'd spent many years being a mom. I love being a mom. And so I knew how to do those things. So I was kind of just doing them in a new role. It was not good. I had to learn how to stop being a children's pastor. I had to learn how to not mother my staff. That was not what I was called to do. And so today we're going to hear about what job the Holy Spirit has and what job you and I have, and they're different. And if we can remember that and use the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be filled with his love, we can go and do what he created us in advance to do. Do you know that today? God created you on purpose for a purpose. Last week, Jake had us begin in the book of John chapter 16. If you have never read scripture, I encourage you, take a book home with you today. The blue Bibles in the back are a gift from us to you. And start in the book of John. It explains so clearly who Jesus is and his great love for you and me. Well, in John 16, we saw that Jesus was with his friends and he told them this. He said, "I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you." Can you imagine Jesus's friends? They had walked with him for 3 years and he said he was leaving and they began to grieve. And he said, "No, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I go away, I will send him to you." See, Jesus, when he walked on this earth, could be in one place at one time. He was fully divine, but he was fully human. And when he left and now sits at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you and me, he didn't leave us alone. God sent help. He sent the Holy Spirit, who now can dwell within you and within me. And the Holy Spirit has a role. See, God is in the Trinity, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They all have roles. The Holy Spirit has a role, and we have been given a role as the loved children of God. Our job is to love one another. John 16:8 tells us what the role of the Holy Spirit. It says, "The Holy Spirit will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." When you see that word convict, how are you feeling? See, the truth is God has told us that Jesus paid the price for every sin, every thought, every word, every deed that has separated us from him. So that word convicted, can we think of it for a moment as the word convinced? The Holy Spirit convinces us that sin separates us from God. The Holy Spirit convinces us of God's righteousness, of his justice. So when we know we are who God says we are, and we were created on purpose, for a purpose, he fills us with the Holy Spirit, and we speak with conviction. And how should we be speaking? We just sang it. Let us be known by our love. See, it doesn't mean that we're filled with legal guilt. It means that I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and now I am convinced of the truth of God. I know that I am no longer separated from the love of God. The Holy Spirit reminds me of God's righteousness and of his justice. And so in verse 9, Jesus tells us something so very important. I want to look at it together. John 16:9 says, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Have you ever thought of that before? Our sin is when we refuse to believe Jesus. Our faith matters. So as Jesus is having this conversation, he is with his dearest friends. He had spent 3 years with them, teaching them who God is, healing people. And now he says, friends, it is better for me to leave, because when I leave, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And so if we continue to read in the book of John, we would get to John chapter 20. And in John 20, Easter Sunday has already happened. Jesus has died on the cross, paid the penalty for every sin. And now he has risen, but his friends don't know that yet. And they are together, they are huddled together, and they are frightened. And Jesus walks in, and in verse 22, he shows them his pierced hands and the wound in his side. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them. As Jake, our teaching pastor, began to formulate the ideas behind this series, he said another way we could have translated Holy Spirit is holy breath. Do you ever think about that? The breath of God in you, giving you the power to love one another, yet not to convict each other. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit speaks through me with conviction, I help the souls of those around me understand they were created on purpose for a purpose, and that is to find their way back to God. And when I make a mistake, my daughter's here, so she'll tell you, I make a lot of them. When I make a mistake, when I sin, you know what the Holy Spirit does? You know what God does in his gentle love? He convicts me because he loves me, and he gently raises my head, reminds me that I was created on purpose for a purpose. I was never intended to be scared or anxious or alone or in shame. And that is the promise God wants you to believe today. So the Holy Spirit connects me and connects you to God. We're in week 2 of this series that we call Connected, the Spirit of God in Us. And over these 4 weeks, we're going to look at this truth, that the Holy Spirit connects us to God and his beauty. Convicting others is not our job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. Our job, our one job, is to love one another. See, the bumper reminded us, didn't it, that the Holy Spirit allows us to see the beauty of God's love. God's love is in every page of Scripture. But to be honest with you, I didn't really see it until about 10 years ago when I discovered the Jesus Storybook Bible. Now, I know you're grown-ups, but I'm still telling you to buy it and read it, because the Jesus Storybook Bible takes these very simple ideas that somehow get lost when we're not coming to God with a childlike heart. See, Jesus is in every page of Scripture. And so in the chapter that talks about the Holy Spirit coming, there was a great title. It's the only thing I want you to remember today, if you remember nothing else. God sent help. You're not alone. God sent help. The Holy Spirit came because we do not know what to do. If you've ever read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we live in an upside-down world of the kingdom of God. We think right things are wrong, and we think bad things are good, so God sent help. And if you were here last week, Jake gave us one simple thing to do. Ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you, to give you wisdom and strength and love. See, when the Holy Spirit came, when the breath of God was breathed upon Jesus' friends, it's like the coldness and the hardness of their hearts began to melt. Broken hearts were mended. The old was gone and the new had come. That's the promise of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit in us allows us to love one another. Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit is here today in you and in me. And as we leave, we get to be the hands and feet of God, sharing this truth, letting people know that you are not alone. God sent help. If you've ever tried to love another who has injured you, you can't do it, but you can with the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love one another. So as we began to think through this series and I saw the title for today, I wanted to preach it because this is something I have struggled with my whole life. I don't know if it's because I'm firstborn, but I'm really good at seeing problems in other people. Anybody else able to do that? Like you're at a sermon and you're thinking, if only so-and-so was right here, like this is a really good message for them. So when I saw that, I began to see God is working in me for a reason. He wants me to believe this, and I know he wants you to believe it. My job is never to convict people of sin. My job is to love. And it's hard for me. I like to be right. And I somewhere deep inside think I thought that when I got to heaven, there's some kind of chart with gold stars for making right choices. But you know what there is in heaven? There's the love and the peace and the patience that comes from being in the presence of Jesus. So my prayer over this series has been this: God, help me believe you. Not just believe in you. Help me believe you when you say that my job is not to convict anyone else. My job is to love, and I can do it with your power. When I was younger, my mom had these little cassette tapes by someone called Salty. It meant the Psalms. Anyone else ever hear Salty? And so my very first Bible verse I learned as a child was 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Love comes from God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. I have a dear friend who usually sits over here in the back, and he always calls me beloved. That's what he calls all his friends. And do you know what beloved means? It means you are precious and dearly loved. That is what God calls you. So no matter what anyone has spoken over you in this life, know who you are. You are God's beloved, his precious, his dearly loved. And he says, this is our role. Beloved, let us love one another. You know you were created to draw near to God, but so is every person he's created. And you might be the one that helps someone far from God find their way back to him. That's what we get to do as a church, to be God's loving hands and feet and speak to our friends and neighbors and tell them you were made on purpose for a purpose, to be known by the God who loves you. You are his beloved. But sometimes we felt like, at least I did in the past, my job was to convict. I see that sin in you and I want to point it out. And the problem with that is I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to work right there and then. In a way, I'm playing God. My job is to love and to pray that the Holy Spirit would convict others of their sin. And my job is to be open to the fact that the Holy Spirit in me is convicting me of my sin. Now, I know some of you are having a hard time hearing me right now because I keep saying the word conviction, conviction, conviction. This is really hard for you to deal with. So I want to put it in a new light. When you hear the word convict, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, I want you to think of guardrails. If you've driven for any amount of time, you've seen them on a highway. I became very aware of them a couple weeks ago. I knew I'd be preaching on this. So I was in Vermont and it was dark and rainy. I did not know where I was. We're on a highway. The mountain is right next to the guardrail. And there's a truck behind us going pretty quickly. And I realized those guardrails were not there to keep me from doing anything fun. They're there to keep me safe and alive. Do you realize the Holy Spirit in your life is there like guardrails helping you say, no, don't go there. No, don't do that. The Holy Spirit is here because you were made on purpose for a purpose. And God wants you to stay away from the things that separate us from him. But the Holy Spirit is not just like a guardrail. It's also like a roller coaster track. Yesterday, HSM had the chance to go down to Six Flags New England and ride on some amazing roller coasters. I just want to see anyone here love roller coasters. See, way more than first service. I hate them. I hate everything about them. I hate that too because I'm not fun and I wish I was. I wish that I enjoyed roller coasters because apparently that moment for some people when you're at the top of the roller coaster and you drop, there are people who just love that feeling. They live for that feeling. I hate that feeling. But in high school, I took physics and I learned that when you go over that hill, the track was designed so your car will go where it's supposed to go. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is directing you where you were intended to go. You were made on purpose for a purpose, and the Holy Spirit is there. Don't go that way. Go this way. God is with you and he loves you. And so when we realize that God did not send the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins for any reason other than he loves you and he wants what's best for you. Like a shepherd guides the sheep, the shepherd would have a staff. But the staff was never intended to beat the sheep, was it? It was to gently guide them where they were supposed to go because the shepherd cares for the sheep. And maybe you're sitting here today, and in your whole life, you have never heard that a loving God made you on purpose for a purpose, and that he wants you to live a life that is free from the entanglement of sin. I want you to know that's the good news we celebrate here each and every week. We want to remind each other that God has rescued us and that he loves us and that he's brought us back because he loves us. The simple song we sing in the back is true here. Jesus loves you. A song that I sing, that we sang here before, speaks of it this way. God did not want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. And the Holy Spirit in us is allowing us to see the beauty of God's love. And that happens when we realize we've been forgiven much. We have been loved much. And we begin to ask, Holy Spirit, help me to love others. Not judge each other. Love each other. And I love how John Emery described it a few weeks ago. He said, the heart of God is this. How can I help these broken children of mine become whole and loved? Imagine if that was the prayer for all of us, that every person we meet, how can I help this broken child of God become loved and whole? We can do that with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We can ask. Last week, Jake said, just ask for the Holy Spirit. Have we asked? And today we're reminded, God sent help. Holy Spirit, help me. Fill my heart, fill my soul. Give me your strength because God, your glory is what my heart longs for. Give me your eyes of love and compassion and help me believe. Help me believe that you want to help your broken children become whole and loved. So how does he do this? How does the Holy Spirit in us help us love one another? It starts when we realize what Jesus did for us. When he died that death on the cross, he was able to pay for every sin, every thought, every word, every deed that has ever separated you from God's love has been paid for in full. And he did that because he did not want us to be slaves to sin. He came to set us free. And he taught us to pray this, God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be? Heaven is going to be filled with people who let God change them. That's my prayer today. God, change us. Help us to realize that Jesus came so our hearts would long for what your hearts long for. God, help me believe that I am simply the loved child of God with one job, to love one another. So I want to tell you, no one deserves to stand here less than I do. If you knew my childhood and you knew what I had gone through, how shy I was, how little I believed that I was the loved child of God. This wasn't a path that anyone would have seen when I was a child, but you know who saw it? God. And he sees it in you. You were created on purpose for a purpose to go and proclaim with conviction this good news that Christ came to redeem us because he loves us. And he loves us too much to allow us to be chained to sin. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin, and he gives us one job, go and love each other. Do you remember what John 16:9 said? What is the sin that keeps us far from God? The sin is this, the world's sin is that we refuse to believe in Jesus. And I know that sounds like a funny thing to say in church, but I'll have to tell you, I grew up in church. I went to Christian college, but then when my children were quite young, I found a book by Beth Moore called Believe in God, and it transformed my life. Because I began to understand that just because I believed in God did not mean I believed him. And I realized I needed to get scripture in my heart so God could speak to me. I needed to spend time in prayer. I needed to be around people who would point me back to Jesus. And that is what we all need. We need to believe him. Our faith matters. And the good news is we don't have to do this in our own strength. In the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, it came with power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and lives in me. And it is that power that allows us to believe God, that allows us to love one another. And that is why Jesus said it was good that he was leaving, so that God would send an advocate, another advocate. Were you here last week? Did you see Jake explain with the two muffins how that advocate was just like Jesus, full of patience and kindness, That's how God speaks to us. He loves us. I know when I've done something that causes him sadness, something I've said or done, he gently lifts my head. And I know it from Scripture. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, who had spent the beginning of his life persecuting Christians, fighting for being right, God met him and changed his heart. And he spent the rest of his life telling people the truth. And he went to a place called Ephesus. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, he said this. This is his prayer for them, and it's our prayer today for all of us, that the Holy Spirit would strengthen us and strengthen our inner being so we could receive the power to grasp this. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? Have you ever thought about how much God loves you? And when we understand this love that surpasses knowledge, then we will be filled to the full measure with the fullness of God. It's like a way to describe how they used to take grain and push it down into a cup, that we would be filled from bottom to top with this understanding of God's great love for us, with the fullness of God. And do you know why it matters? Because the people around you and me are longing for the God who made them and who loves them. This week, for the first time, I used an app called Abide, and it helped lead me in prayer. And I guess most of the time when I pray, I jump right to my needs. But this app allowed me to stop and think about the goodness and the love of God, and I was overwhelmed. And I just placed on my Facebook a little statement saying that I would be praying for people. I have people in my life right now who are sick. I'd be praying. If someone wanted me to pray for them, just let me know. And you wouldn't believe that people reached out to me. People that were far from God who said, please pray for me. God wants to use us to help people understand his love. You were not intended to just come to church. You are the church. You get to go and be his hands and feet. You might think praying for someone is something small. It's something big in their life. But sometimes things get in the way of us understanding God's love for us. You know what often gets in the way of us understanding God's love for us? It is the word that someone else spoke over us when they were convicting us of something. And it gets stuck in our soul and it's hard. Maybe somewhere along your life, someone has said something to you like you're useless. You're a loser. You're stupid. You're a slut. You're unwanted. You're a liar. And that word stayed in you. But that is not what Jesus says when he looks at you. Jesus calls you his child, his dear, precious, beloved. You are wanted and freed and forgiven. See, when someone else points out the sin in another, you know what happens? We start to feel bad. One of the people who has impacted my life more than anyone is Dr. Henry Cloud. His book, Boundaries, is amazing, but everything he writes is. And one of the things he says is, people are not good or bad. Have you ever thought about that? People are not good or bad. People are loved or they feel bad. See, when we don't feel loved, when we feel isolated, we feel bad. And what we don't understand about sin is separating us from the love of God. That's what we see in Genesis 3, isn't it? In shame, they try to hide from the God who made them and loved them. And that is what happens with sin. We begin to feel isolated from God and from others. But the most loving thing we can do for others is to let them know they are loved by the God who made them. And then, at the same time, let them feel the consequences of their choices. See, both things are important in love. You should feel the consequences of your own choices that drive you back to God. And you should know you're made by a God who loves you and will never stop loving you. You can't even understand how much the love of God is wider and deeper than we could ever imagine. I have a favorite song by a group called the Sidewalk Prophets. I don't know if you've ever heard them, but they're amazing. And their song says, I don't know how you've been broken, but I know that you are loved. If you sit here today and the word spoken over you is broken or unwanted, know that that's not true. You are wanted and loved. You are God's precious, dearly loved child. And inside of us, when we ask the Holy Spirit, we will hear this still small voice say, you are not alone. You are loved. You are made on purpose for a purpose. So how are we going to remember this? If we hear this today and we write it down, how are we going to remember that we are loved, that we are called to believe Jesus? How are we going to remember it? Well, I think that's the important part of coming here. I think it's an important part of being in community with people who will remind us of the truth. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be praying. But we need to remember that we are not alone. God sent help. Nothing is as bad as it seems, because you are not alone. God never intended for you to feel isolated emotionally or spiritually. He is here now. So when you come across someone and they are acting badly, we can let them know that God loves them and made them on purpose for a purpose. This is not self-esteem. This is pointing them back to their Creator. God sent the Holy Spirit, and we can pray for them. We can love them, but the Holy Spirit's job is to convict them of their sin. And so that's my prayer for myself today. I don't know if it's your prayer. God, help me remember that my job is not to convict others of their sin. Holy Spirit, convict me of my sin, but help me do this job you created me to do. Help me to love the world around me. And maybe today you're sitting here and you know God loves you, but you don't know why he made you. Maybe in the moments of communion that are quiet, that can be your question for the Holy Spirit. Ask, God, what did you create me in advance for? I know that you made me on purpose for a purpose. Show me. Help me to use my hands and my feet and my gifts to bring you glory. You know, when Jesus died, in John chapter 3, verse 17, it shares with us a very important thing to remember. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save it. There is room in God's house for everyone. Do we believe that? If so, then those people that we are struggling with, we need to be in prayer on our knees. Lord, help them to understand that you made them and you love them, because a loved person is going to find their way back to the God who made them. God wants us to believe both things, that we are loved and that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin to set us free. And when we believe that, we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, not as guilty, broken children, but as the loved children of the Most High God. And when we know we're loved, we're able to love one another. So ask. Ask God for help. Read his word. Pray with one another. Give and serve. And most importantly, know today that as the Holy Spirit begins to speak, it's hard. It's hard to be convicted of our sin. It wasn't easy for me to stand up here today and tell you the truth. It's not going to be something that's pleasant, but we want you to press into it, because even though the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin is a sobering moment, we know that when the Holy Spirit works in our life, he makes us more like Jesus. When we start going through life thinking everything that is happening is someone else's problem, it might be a wake-up call. God, what is it in me that you want me to be doing to love these people that are far from you? And these different wake-up calls come different ways. It might be through a message or a song or a prayer or a conversation with someone else. But you can leave today and know this truth. Your job is never to convict anyone else. Your job is to love one another. So today, if God begins to whisper a truth in your heart during these moments of quiet, will you listen? Will you ask him, God, what is it that you're trying to speak to me? I know that you are for me. I know that you want to bring me back to you. And that's what we're asking God to do during the quiet of this moment after communion, when we realize we are simply the poor and powerless who have been redeemed, who have been paid for in full by the love of Jesus Christ. God, will you come inside me, convict me of my sin, bring me closer to you, and then Holy Spirit, dwell in me. And with your power, help me to love one another. Help me to see the beauty of God's love. Will you pray with me? Lord, we stand here today in your presence, and we again ask, Lord, let us be known by our love. And that love is not possible in our own strength. God, that power is only possible through the Holy Spirit. So we are asking, Holy Spirit, come and dwell in us. Fill us with more love than we could ever possibly understand. Lord, may your love overwhelm us so that we can go out and be your hands and your feet, and all glory and honor and power would be given back to you. God, some of us sit here today and you are showing us an area that we need to repent of. Repent simply means to stop going the way we're going, to turn around and go the other way in the power of God. Lord, help us to break free of any chain. God, others, we're sitting here today and we know we need the Holy Spirit to love those people in our life that are hard to love. But God, you made them and you love them. So Lord, may the Holy Spirit allow us to see them as you see them. And God, we thank you that we can come humbly before you and ask these things. And we know if we ask anything in your name, Jesus, you will do it. So Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen.